of Bhagavad Gita, this great universal scripture that we are studying now, is called Sannyasa Yoga, the yoga of renunciation. The word sannyasa has a very deep connotation. Sannyasa is taking to monastic life. It means renunciation, and what exactly it connotes is that you understand things as they are. What is to be renounced is our erroneous perception of this world. We see this world only in its apparent changing aspect. Do not see the unchanging reality behind it. And that is why we get deluded by the names and forms. We feel that they are real. They are, therefore, they attract us. They bind us. It is all because of their wrong perception. We see only a partial truth when we see the names and forms. The names and forms, they are appearing on a screen which is not changing, and that is the reality. When we see this complete picture, then we do not get attracted in this world by these forms. We do not get repelled either. We do not feel anger or jealousy, just as we do not get attracted by the picture of a candy when we see it on the TV screen. We don't go to the TV screen to pick it up in order to eat it, because we know that it is only a picture. Behind that there is a different thing. So all these names and forms that appear to us as real, if we see the picture in totality, then we will be able to see that they are just passing. The body that you call I, that also is a passing show. All the other bodies that you see, they are also equally a passing show. The things that we see around, they are changing. And all these changes are happening because there is an unchanging inner reality, and that is our true essence. When we discover that, then the life is fulfilled. Then we get the bliss that we had been seeking in vain in this world. We seek happiness from various objects in this world, various bodies. If our body, one body is not enough for getting happiness, we want to connect it to another body. My husband, or this is my wife, and this is my children. We connect them to other bodies to get more pleasure. But it is just seeking something where it is not. The true happiness is in perceiving the source of it. In getting happiness from different things, we actually apply that very principle in an ignorant manner. And we see that our happiness comes through oneness, through unity. We like something, we want something, and we want to become one with that thing so that we will feel happiness. But the two things never become one. If they are two, they are two. The secret is to perceive the inner unity. The unity is somewhere. Where? In the background. That is really calling us. All our desires are really expressions of this search for this oneness. This existing oneness is to be discovered, and that is knowledge. That completes the picture. Then that, as you see in the jigsaw puzzle, then things, everything falls in place. The whole, this riddle is then solved. So, this word, sannyasa or renunciation really means give up your ignorance. The ignorance that this world, these different forms that you see are permanent, real, and are sources of happiness for me, that is ignorance. That is what is causing bondage and anguish and, you know, this sense of, you know, why people commit crimes or wrong things. All this happened because of this erroneous perception. When this perception is replaced by reality, then these things vanish. And the way to do is called yoga. Yoga is to conduct our life in such a way that this knowledge is dawned on us. This knowledge is not just information sitting in the brains. That information which doesn't become functional is not really a knowledge at all. What we can execute, that alone is the knowledge. Otherwise it is an information, a load sitting there, like what I tell sometimes, the beautiful Sanskrit couplet about a donkey being laden with a lot of burden. Donkey is used for carrying the load. The donkey is not concerned, doesn't get the value of what is loaded. It can be a sandalwood loaded on the back of the donkey. The donkey doesn't know that it is sandalwood. It has nothing to do with what is loaded. It is not enriching the donkey in any way. You may load gold on the back of the donkey. The donkey doesn't get the value of the gold. It doesn't know it. So, similarly, it is the information that is loaded in our brain, but it is not functional. That is like carrying the burden of the information like a donkey without using it. So, yoga is the way to internalize it, to digest it, and make it useful, functional in our life. Then only the word knowledge becomes applicable there. Otherwise, it is a useless, rather bothersome information in our brain. Some gadget sitting with me, I don't know how to use it, something like that. It's just a burden. It doesn't make my life better. In fact, it makes it worse, takes a lot of time and lot of space in my room, that's all. So it is important that this yoga is to be practiced. Lord Krishna is explaining Arjuna that yes, you want to give up, but giving up work is not really the issue at all. What you need to give up is give up ignorance, and therefore performing the works in the manner of yoga, in the yoga mode, perform the works in the mode of yoga, and that will bring this knowledge into your life. And the works that a yogi does and a non-yogi does, the word in Sanskrit for that is nice, bhogi, yogi and bhogi. Bhogi does the work for with the idea that I will get enjoyment out of that. But a yogi performs the same work with a completely different attitude. The work is the same, externally speaking, but the attitude with which that work is carried on is different. And therefore, as we were seeing in these verses, the 11th and 12th verse, that how a yogi performs these works, 11th verse in the this 5th chapter, Kayena manasa buddhya kevalairindriyairapi yogina karma kurvanti sangam tyaktvatma shuddhaye. Men of selfless action, giving up attachment, perform action through the body, mind, intellect, as also the other senses, for the purification of the mind. The purpose is now the purification of the mind. That is the purpose. The action there comes as a medication. You take medication for the purpose of purification, removing the bacteria and other things from the body. You take antibiotics. You don't take it in order for the taste of the that's antibiotic, oh, it tastes so nice. Nobody takes medication with that idea. Medication is for getting rid of the impurity or the disease from the body. You don't care there whether it tastes sweet or whether it tastes bitter. Whatever its taste may be, the purpose of taking it is not whether it tastes nice or not. If you have a problem, then you find out what is the right medication for it and take it. Now, our disease of ignorance has this medication is work. Work is to be used as medication. But when does work become medication? Only when it is taken in the yoga mode, not in the bhoga mode. In the bhoga mode, it increases ignorance. In the yoga mode, that very work purifies and removes ignorance, makes the knowledge come into your nervous system. It becomes functional. So you see the world in its true colors. You see what is true. And what is not true, what is changing and what is not changing, the perception becomes clear. And that is the purpose of this yoga. Yogina karma kurvante atma shuddhaye sangam tyaktva. It is made there that giving up attachment, that is the central part of yoga. You do not get attached to anything. Like you don't get attached to the medication. As soon as you are cured, finished. Now I don't have to take those antibiotics. Done. The course is finished. I am better. So you don't take those anymore. So it is like that. You don't get attached to those things which you... when it is food, yes, I get attached my tea or my coffee or my all that thing. Yeah, you get attached to it because it was not being taken as medication but as a form of attraction, enjoyment and so forth. So this is the big difference, friends, that the work is a great medication. If you don't take it, as Arjuna wanted to do, let me not do work, let me just be the self, calm. The 5th chapter began with that question. That Arjuna's mentality was shown there, that it was he wanted to just get rid of all these works and sit nice, quiet. Well, that is not possible for Arjuna's state. Because that mind will always propel a person to do work. But what choice you have is to do the work in the right spirit or in the wrong spirit. You do the work as a yogi or a bhogi. Do the work as medication to get rid of ignorance, or do the work to add further to this ignorance. Work to become free and work to get further bound. This is the choice that we have. And what choice do we want to make? And Charles, what choice do you want to make? To be free. Is there anybody here who says that, well, I want to be bound? Nobody wants bondage. We all want to be free. Everyone wants to be free. And the means of freedom is with us. We don't have to import it. We have it with us. Only we need to learn to use it for that purpose. If we don't use it for that purpose, then we are bound by it. If we learn how to use it for that purpose, we become free. So this is the difference between the way a yogi does the action and a non-yogi does the action. So, as he explains in the next verse, that 12th verse, the results of these two, yukta karma phalam tyaktva shantim apnoti naishthikim ayukta kamakarena phale sakto nibadhyate. The harmonized one giving up the fruit of action attains the highest peace. The non-harmonized one working under the sway of desire is attached to the fruit and gets bound. So, here the word harmonized is used. You can translate it in many ways. The word yukta here is translated as harmonized, but that means a yogi, the one who is performing yoga. That also, that person is also called yukta. So, the yukta, how does that person does the work? Gives up the fruits of the actions. The fruits of the action, when you seek something while doing the action, then those results become a bondage for you. Then that means further work. That never-ending cycle of works and results then ensues, no chance of freedom from that. So, the yukta, the yogi, does the work in this way that gives up the fruits. A very beautiful idea is illustrated here, the practical aspect, you know, that how you can this perform, you can become a yogi. Let us practice surrendering the results of the work. Why? See, all these verses have tremendous psychological understanding involved in them. It is not easy to remember while working that yes, I am not body, not mind. For a beginner like me, it is difficult to remember all the time that yes, I am the self and this body is giving the lecture. I am not involved in it at all. Although that is truth, I forget it. But when the work is done, then I have a little respite and I think, oh, well done. But it is all God's grace. I could do it Was I really doing it? Who was doing? I was not really doing it. It was all through the grace of God. Or if you don't want to believe in God, fine. You can say that yes, it is all the body that was working, the mind was propelling. I was just not doing anything. So why should I get the results? I surrender all the results. So at least the afterthought, you know, you can make amendments. There is that scope, you know, that you write something and then you find that you have made some mistakes, and so you amend it, you change it. So that scope is told here. Yeah, in the first place you did it, you should not have, but suppose you did it. Doesn't matter. Now give up the fruits. That will make the requisite correction there. So we perform the work while working, and there is all that, you know, the emotions are there, the haste is there, the whole mind is put in the work. So we don't think that it is, I am not the doer, and all that stuff is difficult to remember. So we tend to get involved in it. But once it's done, now, at least now, think and say that, oh Lord, this is all offered to you. Or if you don't accept a God, if accepting God solves many problems, you know, it is true, as well as very helpful, both. So it is that will come later also, that how it becomes very helpful. So then you surrender everything at the feet of the God, oh Lord. It was you who were doing all that. It is, I was foolishly thinking I was doing, not I, but you alone are there. All the results are then surrendered to God. And thus you are not bound by it anymore. And that is a good thing that we all can practice, you know. Do it. If not, what happens? We know that. I did it. I must get recognition for it. It is my something. It is my property. You start getting bound by it. And it goes on increasing like that. It is I and mine, as Sri Ramakrishna used to say, that is the bondage. So, work, very good, and offer. Surrender the results of that work. Shantim, and then you are peaceful. Shantim apnoti, you attain to peace that does not go away. Naishtikim, very beautiful word. Otherwise, momentary peace, everybody feels sometimes some people when they come here say, how peaceful it is. It is very peaceful. Very nice, but that peace doesn't last too long. Or sometimes you wake up early in the morning at the time of dawn and you just sit at the bank of a river and you feel how peaceful it is. But after 5 minutes, that peace just goes away. You are driven to some other things. But why? Because that peace was an induced peace. It was not your peace at all. It was an induced peace. You know that if you keep a magnet and near that if you put a piece of iron, then that piece of iron gets some magnetic properties because of the proximity of that magnet. It is called an induced magnetism. That is, because of it is the proximity, you got it for a little while, and then it goes away because it depended on circumstances. That piece which depended on circumstances is not really yours. And it comes and goes because the mind is restless. It seeks so many things, and so it will be running after the different things again and again, creating all the disturbances. But this person, with the practice of yoga, offering the results of the work, now comes to that peace. And I have seen many people, you know, it is not that such people used to be only in the ancient times. It is very ordinary people I have seen. Ordinary means they were not very scholars, not that they had read lot of religious books, but they changed their lifestyle, learned to do the work in that spirit, the spirit of dedication. The result is not seen in a day, but gradually you see the pattern of life changing, the priorities of life start changing, and thus you see these people being established in that kind of peace. It is not only some monks, but also I have seen a good number of dedicated householders who, by practicing this work, working with the spirit of dedication, attaining to this peace. It is therefore, work is very, very important. This is the, for most of us, this is the only means available for us for purification. And so, when we do it, we will see gradually the mind is changing. As if the medication is right, if you are taking the medication, what will happen? The signs will be there, gradually the disease will be receding. And exactly that starts happening in these people. The peace sets in the life. Even the face becomes very different, as Swamiji has mentioned that in Raja Yoga, that by a little practice, first some signs appear. One of them is that the harsh lines on the face, because harsh lines on one's face, because that restlessness appears on the face also, as the person is seen. All that, you know, it is because that in the mind that is there, and it is seen on the face also. When this person practices this yoga, all those harsh lines, without any surgery, they are removed. No, not that it is a cosmetic surgery. Please don't think in that terms. It is, but those harsh lines are removed from one's general demeanor. I have seen that. Therefore, that person may have a very wrinkled and commonly not a very beautiful face or so. But because of this inner peace, those harsh lines, they are not there anymore. A very pleasant person, that becomes a pleasant person. The voice becomes, as Swamiji mentioned, that's also in Raja Yoga, that the voice becomes very soothing and nice. Not that person becomes a great singer. Again, it is not a musical thing. It is the quality of peace inside that expresses in the voice. It is, and anybody can feel that, you know, that an angry person, the anger, and so many other those crowding emotions in the mind, they make their presence felt in one's voice also. Even that person may be professionally a great singer, but at other times when the person is talking, that harshness, because that person is not a yogi. Because of that, when the person is discussing or interacting with other people on different matters, that restlessness shows up. This person attains that naishthikim, that peace that never leaves. Even that person is scolding somebody, there is still peace in that person. Tremendous, that scolding can be very, very terrible, shaking scolding, you know. I know one Swami used to scold, while scolding, the voice would become so reverberating that the whole building would appear to be shaking, you know. There is still peace, that it is again the expression not of restlessness but of inner peace, because that peace doesn't leave that person at all. And this is to be experienced. It's very difficult to explain these things. It is when you see such people, when you are living with such people, when you interact with them, you get to know a little bit of it, that how the peace that is not dependent on situations and the peace that is induced by the situations, the peace that is independent of all situations, it just remains with you. It is independent of situation, so it is with you. So, otherwise, ayuktaha kamakarena, the one who is not a yogi, what is the sign of a non-yogi? The desires are predominant. When you are doing that work, not because it is your duty, you are not doing your work because it is good, not because you have to do it for something right, but desires is the motive there. I want this. And then the whole scenario changes there. Then you are walking right into a trap, a bondage. And that is the even... our minor desires, they have the potential to bind us to that extent. The dominating the desire is, the more the propelling force of that desire is, the more is the bondage that is generated by it. So, it is like that. The harder you throw the ball at the wall, the harder it comes back to you. So exactly, the harder you try to get something, desire means that, you know, you go at it. A ball is thrown at the wall. You feel you will get it now. No, it comes back to you as a bondage. And the more is the intensity of the desire, the greater becomes the bondage that surrounds you because of the desire. So, Lord Krishna makes it very, very clear, friends. What is the difference between the two persons doing the work? The yogi does the work because it is to be done. And not dependent on whether you like it or whether you don't like it. It is not because of attachment I like to do this. Not because even that you know how to do it. Not necessary. Many times in my case it has always been like that. As a monastic, I have been always put into works. for which I never had any training nor had any liking. Works that I, as in my pre-monastic life, were not most detestful to me, somehow I don't say that they deliberately did it, but somehow it happened like that. That, okay, you do and manage that accounting there. And now accounts I had never learned, never knew. And when I complained, well, what does it mean? You didn't know. Who knows? You know, it is, everybody has to learn. Life is for learning. Come on. Take it up. Well, and that in monastery you cannot argue much, you know. You have to do it there. It is there always, my way or highway, you see. So it is. You do it. It is. So you do, and why the wonder of it is that you are doing that work because you need to do it, not because you like it, not because you have a big expertise in it. You do it because you are told to do it, and you have to, and you learn it. And by the time you learn it, you are told, okay, now you do different work. And you feel by the time there is, you get an attachment for it, hey, I can do it. You get praise from the people, oh, you have done it so well. And then I felt sad, you know, I did that work so well. Now it is being taken away from me. Why, I started complaining. And then I was told, very bluntly, very right also, correct, you know. Did you become a monk to be an accountant? Was that your goal? Was that the reason that you became an accountant? Well, then go and join some bank or something while you are here. So they will do all your life, all the accounts. Then I was put into the work of doing some that medicine and all that medical work. Never liked in my life. You have to do it now. It is like that. And it happened with almost everybody in our order. The many monks, they never got the work that they liked. And that is how the Lord arranges things. That whether you like it or not, that is not the question at all. You may not like it. You ought to do it because it is medication. The very principle is this. The work is, Vishal, what is it? Medication. It is, you don't take it or not take it because you like or dislike it. It is a medication. And its efficacy is seen in dispelling, removing the disease. That is how a yogi performs the work. And non-yogi, desire. I like this, I want this, and you do the work. Get bound by that. So it is, even if something is good, you know, as medication it is good, but if you are taking it because you like it, then you take overdose of it. And therefore Shankara says in one of his beautiful small treatise, it is in the verse form, that only five verses, it is said that, you take your food as medication. Take it as medication, not because you like it or whether you dislike it. And he says that we all have the disease called hunger. Shut vyadhi chikitsitam pratidinam bhikshaushadam bhujyatam. That take the medication called food as a cure for your disease called hunger. And since that disease comes every day, twice or thrice, you take it twice or thrice, that medication. Take it as medication, so that you will not get bound by it. It is what a great thing. This is very important to become a yogi. In the 18th chapter, this is again emphasized by saying that this person doesn't care whether that work is praised by others or not, whether it is a high-end job or a low-end job, and that person doesn't care about it. Na dveshti akushalam karma kushale nanu sajjate tyagi sattva samavishto medhavi chinna samshaya. That verse will come at the end of Bhagavad Gita, almost, and that is the 18th chapter. So that person is doing work, but how? Not because, oh, this is the work that requires lot of rare skills, and so I will be praised as person of rare skill. You know that, yeah, and this is a highly educated person, a big PhD or whatever, and so therefore one takes up that, oh, I don't care for those other works. No, it is the same work. You know, it is whether it is praised by people or blamed by people. Don't worry about it. Whether it is very insignificant work or very significant work, and doesn't. Significant works care and attract people's attention. Insignificant works do not. Like a person giving lectures, discourses, that person gets attraction of many people. Somebody is doing maybe inside the work of accounts. Nobody knows who that person is. Yet, both have the same capability of making us free of all bondages. One should not choose the work from this point of view, that it is, well, it will make me famous. It will bring my picture in the newspapers, and I will get a lot of fame through that. No, that should not be the motive, nor should a work be avoided. What is that? You know, anybody can do that. Should I do it? No. Don't worry about it. Do whatever comes to your lot. Do it. And that then becomes medication. That becomes then the force that liberates you. So, in the next verse, it will be shown how this person lives. A very beautiful analogy is given here. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vashi navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvanna karayan. Now look upon the body as a city, and you are the dweller of the city. The body and mind, both is considered here as body in a way. And you are the dweller there. You are just living there. And the body is doing all the works. You are not doing anything. You are just living there, that's all. You are not doing really anything. All the actions are, the hands are moving. Are you moving? You are not moving at all. Like you are in a car. You are just sitting, the car is running. You are not doing anything. The wheels are moving. These things that are happening. You are just sitting like that. So, Now when the body is running or doing some work or eating, just think like that, that you are just as you are sitting in this city called body. It has 9 gates. Navadware Pure Dehi. 9 gates. Sometimes it is in some texts it becomes 11 gates. Ekadashadwaram Puram Ekadashadwaram, as it comes in the Kathopanishad, that it is counted as, you know, your these eyes, ears, nose, mouth, then these the organ of excretion, the organ of procreation, all these the holes, and since some are two, it is taken as double, so it becomes 9 by that count. Some also add this hole at the end of the head, through which it is said that the person, when dies, uses that hole to get out. It is. So it is figurative, just as the other things also are holes in the figurative sense. So these are holes in which you are staying there. So, this is a city. You are staying there. You are not doing anything. So nothing affects you really. The work is getting done by the body. Always try to imbibe this on the mind, that am I doing anything? And the result will be, you know, you will start feeling less tired. The more you think in this manner, you automatically will not get tired. Why? And I get tired if I think I am working. Then I feel tiredness. If I know that body is working, I am not working, you don't get tired. And this is something quite practical, friends, that when you associate something with the movement, then that moves, that works, and then that gets tired also. So when you keep yourself detached, then you don't get tired by running about. It is this, one can experience this thing, you know, the more you can be detached from the body, the more this relaxed you feel. Just as if your body is running, then the body gets tired. If the body is sitting in the car, relaxed, the car is running, the body doesn't get tired. So similarly, it is like that you are not the body. If you consider you as body, then the body is getting tired. Means, Charles, I am getting tired because I am body. But when you are not body, body, it is doing work. I am not tired at all. And one can experience these things as one learns to detach oneself from the body. So he has practiced this naiva kurvan nakarayan, the self-controlled, embodied being, renouncing all actions through mind, rest at ease in the city of 9 gates, the body, neither acting nor causing it to act. It will be explained further in the next verse. We shall try to discuss these things next Friday. Any questions? Yes, Yogi, because his name is Yogi, he thought everything was being referred to him, so.
In the verse 12 of 5th chapter, there is similar context in chapter 3 also.
That is a psychologically different context. Somebody had asked this question a couple of classes earlier. that is the similar, it is the context is psychologically different. In the third chapter, it is Arjuna is really confused, he doesn't know. He feels that the Lord Krishna is trying to, you know, fool him. And so he is actually, the words of Arjuna are also like accusations. That knowing that this is right, why are you giving me the wrong thing? In the third chapter, the situation is like that. If you go to a physician and the physician tells you that this is the right medicine for you, it will cure your disease. And this is the poison, if you take it, you will die. I give you the poison to take. What will be your feelings towards the physician? So it is something like that in the beginning of the third chapter. Because Arjuna is not seeing these things very clearly there. And he makes that statement there. Vyamishrenaiva vakyena buddhim mohayasiva me. That you are creating confusion in me, Lord Krishna, by deliberately mixing things. It is in fifth chapter, that is not the case. By the fifth chapter, Arjuna has evolved enough to understand that work has its great efficacy, but is thinking that is that the only thing that he has to do? Can that thing not be achieved by some other way too? By, say, just giving up the work? Because the mind is still leaning to that. It is like, you know, if you are attracted to something, then you are, even though you know that it will be good for you to go the other way, yet you still feel, can it not be done like this? You like to go by that one road. It is, somebody may suggest that route is shorter, but if your mind is attached to that, you say, well, I prefer scenic route, you know. I prefer a scenic route because of that. So Arjuna is thinking that maybe Lord Krishna is prescribing for me that I should be working in the manner of yoga, but I really don't want to work. I want especially this work of fighting war. No, terrible. Is there another way out that I will just give it up? That also seems to be a way. Why should I not practice that? So that is the psychological context of it. That is, here is the difference.
Swami, I was thinking about the verse number 30 of chapter 3, where Lord says, "Do all your actions to me."
Yeah.
And then the verse 31, he says, "Whoever does this way becomes free."
Yeah.
And in verse 32, he says, "Whoever does not do, gets doomed."
Yeah.
And then similar idea he repeats now in verse 12 of this chapter.
It is true that it will be repeated again also. The repetition is not exactly in the same context though. It is the person who is listening is undergoing evolution. And so, it is to be told on that in the new context in a different way. It is not exactly the same teaching because the person is now having some understanding already. And so, this is a repetition for more emphasis on it, that there is not other idea. You will see this again expressed in the sixth chapter, because these books are very practical books. These are not for just theoretical understanding, but the mind, it is very difficult to pull away from something that it likes. So again and again, that message is to be given in different words in different contexts. It is, otherwise it goes to the same thing again. They tell a story of a child who liked muffins, so goes to the with family, friend, it had gone to the restaurant in the morning and they wanted something for breakfast, and the child says, I want these fruits and muffins. The waiter told, sorry, we don't have muffins. Ask for something else. We can give you pancakes and this. Okay, bring me pancakes and muffins. Again, and they, no, we don't have muffins here. What else with pancakes would you like? So he adds something else and muffins. Because the mind cannot come away from muffins that easily. So, Arjuna wants to put that idea of not working in different context, and Lord tries to remove it. That is why Shankara in commentary has said that the context of these verses is to be understood on the psyche, how Arjuna's psyche is working. And it is representative of our psyche, you know. It is, therefore it becomes very useful for us too. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarehi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvine Srita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namani Yani Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Krishna Arpanamastu.